Hey, and welcome into the Big Ten Huddle. I'm your host, JR. I've got a lot to talk about going on in the Big Ten, where we are talking every Big Ten football team in our Power Rankings episode. We are coming to you with our instant reactions to everything that happened in Week 11, ranking the best teams in the Big Ten. Kent here still has Indiana number one, still feeling the Hoosiers. What is it, the Hoosier magic in your blood, Kent? Did you just love to see them take down the Wolverines today? What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought that, you know, this wasn't their best game, but I thought that it was a game that they needed to have, like a closer one finally, where they had to kind of, you know, they didn't really make a ton of plays to go and win the game, but they got enough stops against Michigan to be able to go and get that win today. And I thought that, you know, until I'm at the point in the season where until it's super deserving to move somebody down or move somebody up, then I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to keep it what it was last week, because so many people have beaten like common opponents, and it's just getting so, you know, discombobulated, I guess is the word to use when I'm trying to make these power rankings, that they didn't do anything to lose the top spot in my mind.
Yeah, they had a really close game, and I think that they showed a lot of resilience. It was kind of the closest game we've seen Indiana be in this entire season, and I really liked what I saw from the special teams, and I almost believe in this team more after the game against Michigan, and I actually bumped Michigan up a couple spots in my power rankings because I felt like it was a game where Michigan performed pretty well. So yeah, We'll get into it more, but let's say hello to those in the chat. LFG says, like number one, appreciate you being here, LFG. Yes, everybody, please do like the video. It helps us so much. LFG also says, over the moon with the college football results this weekend, Big Ten or otherwise. Yeah, there's a lot of interesting stuff. Minnesota falls, Iowa falls. There was a bunch of bye weeks, so some games here and there we missed. Ohio State obliterated Purdue.
Not
Oregon.
Nice.
Oregon had a little bit of a slow start against Maryland, but ultimately they come out on top there. And I guess what happened in the rest of college football? Miami fell. I don't know.
Georgia.
Georgia. That's right. Georgia. That was a huge one. Yeah. So what'd you think about the Big Ten slate, Kent, and everything else that happened in college football?
I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but like I wasn't feeling the slate going into it. And like with it being like less games, I think is why I didn't love it.
Yeah, there was only six games.
Yeah. And then there was one last night. So there was only five today. Mm-hmm. Right? Am I getting that right? So. Yep. I wasn't loving it. I fell asleep like in the middle of the last night's game because it was on pretty, not super late, but I was just tired from last night. No one cares about my personal life. It doesn't matter. But then the games today, there was one blowout, like one close, really, really close game, and a couple blowouts actually. And it wasn't my favorite Big Ten slate of the year. But, you know, football is kind of like pizza. Like there's no bad football. So I still had a good time watching it.
I had some excellent pizza tonight, by the way. Ooh. Pizza X, if anybody is around Bloomington or Ellettsville, you know Pizza X. That's some of my favorite pizza.
So Pizza X loves me, by the way. They've DM'd me a couple times.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, they're big fans.
If they ever give you like free coupons or anything, let me know.
Yeah, we'll have to go together sometime. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be great. We also have Road Dust here. He says, old dad here, stressing that game was wild, great atmosphere, solid, gritty win. I tell you, I have never seen the stadium for IU, Memorial Stadium. I've never seen it that alive. I have never seen, of course, I wasn't there, but I got videos from people online. My brother-in-laws were there for that game. It was, from everything I heard and everything I saw, that was probably the most juice, that was probably the most passion that people have ever witnessed inside of Indiana Football Stadium, which is really, really good for that program. I'm really excited for IU and what they're experiencing this year.
Yeah, I thought it was a good atmosphere too. Like, I like the afternoon games that turn into the night games too. It just makes it makes the vibes like turn as the game's turning. And then as that game drew closer and it was nighttime, there's just something about it. There was just an aura to it, I guess, as I was watching. Like, obviously, I wasn't there either, but like watching on TV, it just felt like a big game atmosphere. And the vibes were at an all-time high. And obviously, the crowd was like super involved and made that part of it too.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And you could tell that it was affecting the Michigan players. And you know, some you can only see so much on TV, but when you see it start affecting the players on the field, you know it's starting to do something. LFG again says, so happy that 24 IUD was finally exposed. Both Iowa and Iowa State own the fraudulent tag. Wear it. I would say the Iowa defense probably got exposed more in the Michigan State game. Yeah. I guess this was kind of like the second time it happened where it was like confirmed, like, oh, wow, Iowa's defense might actually have something wrong with it. What do you think, Kent?
Yeah, Iowa, I mean, they go into the category of a bunch of different teams that I just can't quite figure out, because it seems like as soon as I get on a bandwagon, the wagon falls apart. I don't know why, but like I was so all in on Iowa right after that Minnesota game, and then they lose the Michigan State game. And kind of run into UCLA at the wrong time. Like, they're just playing so good right now, and seems like they're really getting behind Coach Foster. So, yeah, tough weekend to play them. Tough to play them on a Friday night, I guess. But I'm not going to make any excuses. Like, UCLA went out and won that game, and Iowa's just tough to figure out, man, because really, to me, it's more offensively than defensively. Like, I thought they were playing so well offensively, and then like Sullivan kind of goes down a little bit. Well, he not a little bit. He went out of the game yesterday.
Right.
And everything just kind of fell apart from there for Iowa. So, man, just a really interesting team to follow this season, though.
It was, for sure. It was a really interesting game to see. Eric Bieniemy, I feel like, is kind of finding his footing now. Remember, he came in late with the late Deshaun Foster hiring. So, you know, a guy bringing an NFL offense like that probably has a lot to install. And with him, I think this is his first time as a college coach. Maybe he did years ago before he got to Kansas City, but he's probably got a lot to install and a lot to put in there. So,
like, it's weird because, like, I've watched a lot of UCLA. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I've watched every snap of them, but this was the first weekend I noticed him on the sideline. And I don't know it was just like the camera people were like kind of focusing in on him more, but like that's the first time I was like, oh, yeah, there he is.
When the offense actually starts doing good, he's like, yeah, start showing me on TV. Remind people that it's me, okay? You know?
Yeah, there it is. That's what it was.
Hummus Hero says, Indiana got worn down by Michigan. They were fortunate to hold on there. I have all kinds of thoughts on this game, Kent. You and I were texting. I credit Indiana for being resilient, being opportunistic, you know, holding on to the win. But if we're being completely honest here, Michigan had chances to win that game. Michigan's coaching staff just doesn't know how to win games.
100%. I said that last week in the Oregon game even. Like,
yeah, you did.
The calls in the most crucial situations were bad last week. Now, I'll say that this week, I thought that the calls were fine, but the offensive line played, this is kind of what we were talking about, they played so bad. They didn't give, I can't think of his name right now, quarterback, time at all to throw.
No,
Michigan's quarterback.
Yeah, Davis Warren.
Oh, I thought you said Curtis York. Sorry. Curtis York.
I did at first, and then you said Michigan's quarterback.
So they didn't give Warren any time to throw, basically, and he was running for his life like the entire game, and he didn't play awesome. He didn't play bad. But the offense just in general just wasn't making the plays when they needed to. Like that last drive, the second to last drive that they had, when all they needed was a field goal and it's 3rd and 10 and he just overthrows a wide open guy. Like it's plays like that. Indiana makes those plays and Michigan just didn't tonight. So it's a mixture of everything. I think it's bad play calling. I think it's bad coaching just in general. Like the time management at the end was really bad. And and then players just not making plays when they absolutely need to. It's just you can't win games like that, and Indiana can.
Very true, very true. Rob is here. Appreciate you being here, Rob. He says, at this point, Oregon, Indiana, and OSU are all cleared number 1, 2, and 3. I feel like all of them have a different argument for being a different spot in 1, 2, and 3. Ohio State number 1 is probably the worst argument there, I'd say, but I could see a world where you could say, hey, look, ever since Ohio State lost to Oregon, Ohio State's been playing really good football, and especially this past weekend or this past week with Ohio State dominating Purdue and then Oregon having a little bit of a slow start. I wouldn't really necessarily agree with the argument, but I could see the argument. for Ohio State being number one. And then obviously you have Indiana number one. So, you know, there's an argument for that as well. A few more comments and then we will move along. Fisherman says Indiana got shut down in the second half. I agree. It kind of looked like, reminded me of Ohio State's third quarter against Nebraska, where Ohio State just couldn't move the ball at all a couple weeks ago in the third quarter. And basically the same thing happened to them in pretty much the entire second half against Michigan. That defensive line has been not as good in the second half all season. And then they decided that they were just going to absolutely destroy Indiana's offensive line that has been really good all season long, mostly in the second half. It was a really interesting thing to see, Kent.
Yeah, and as far as like, because we're here to talk about the power ranking, so I feel like I have to defend mine a little bit because I have them number one, obviously. I can't move Indiana down after winning, though. Like, yeah, their offense played bad for a half. They also had a few drives where they looked like unstoppable. Like, obviously, they didn't play like that the whole game. But at the end of the day, they won, though. So, like, I can't justifiably have them at number one the last 3 weeks. They go get a win and then bump them down and say, well, oh, they kind of played bad. So I'm not going to move them down. I understand Fisherman's point. Like, they do have some, I guess, some kinks in the armor finally that we could point to and say, hey, this team isn't perfect. And I don't think that Coach Cignetti would ever say that they were perfect to begin with. So none of these teams are perfect. I just think that Indiana still has done enough this year. And, you know, proven time and time again that they can blow people out. They are explosive on offense when they need to be. And they're still number one in my heart and in my power rankings.
And say, if they're number one in your heart, they have to be number one in your power rankings.
That's right.
I don't know if Fisherman was saying that they need to be moved down, but I did agree with his assessment there in the second half. They weren't,
yeah,
they weren't
too.
What they normally were. I think Matt, you know, this is kind of what I was getting at with that first question there, or that first statement there by Fisherman. But he asked, does IU have having a game this close change how you feel about IU for the worse? I don't know if I feel different about IU after this game. I definitely, you know, have seen that they're not going to blow Ohio State out. We all knew that. But you definitely see that this is not the most unstoppable team in the world. But at the same time, you saw a team that really had nothing going for them in the second half and had drop passes and stuff that, you know, their offensive line was falling apart. But guess what they did when Michigan, you know, scored that touchdown that could have tied the game? They stopped the two-point conversion. What did they do every time Michigan was driving the ball down the field? They made them kick a field goal. And then the special teams play where the returner, I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head, but he takes the ball back, super aggressive, basically is running while he catches the ball, which is really hard to do. If he drops that, like, that's really, really bad for Indiana. But he's running while he catches the ball, makes some guys miss, gets to about the 40-yard line, gets him in field goal range. The offense gets him in field goal range. They kick a field goal, and then Michigan has to go down the field and score a touchdown, something they only did once that entire game. And they were moving the ball okay. But Indiana was playing the field position battle. They were doing a good job of, you know, not giving Michigan the touchdowns. They got a few gifts. You know, Davis Warren on the goal line did drop that pass right behind him that went like, you know, 20 yards and made the field goal a little more difficult. But overall, I mean, I don't, my thoughts don't really change on Indiana. I think you're the same way, right, Kent?
Yeah. And just going back to that game one more time, too, I think that. It sounds crazy to say this, but I really think that Michigan lost the game on the opening drive. Like, when they took it straight down, got down to the 3-yard line, and like you just said, Warren just slipped, the ball slips out of his hands, and then they got to kick a field goal right there. That would have been the difference in the game if they scored a touchdown. It was the same thing last week. They just cannot finish drives right now. They don't have the right play calls in. They're just not making plays when they get in the red zone, and that's why they're losing games to really good teams, by the way. It was Oregon and Indiana back-to-back weeks. It's not like, you know, they're losing to really bad teams.
It's not like they're losing to Purdue.
Yeah.
One more comment, and then we'll get into our power rankings a little bit more. James says, I find it funny that Oregon wins by 21 and it's considered a bad game since every team has either lost or had a really bad game. I don't know what you've been listening to, James. We never said it was a bad game for Oregon. Said it was a slow start, but we never said it was a bad game. So if you're talking about somebody else, I agree. That's stupid. Why? Like, Georgia has a bad game, and people are like, oh, the SEC is awesome. And, you know, Oregon has one slow start, and people are like, oh, bad game for Oregon. Like, but of course, that's what the national media will do. There's going to be talks on, like, oh, well, did this team have a bad game? But it's stupid. There's nobody else that's going to be one or two in college football, though. And honestly, Indiana should move up to top five after this week. But
yeah, I don't think they played bad tonight. Tonight was definitely not a bad game. But you can't say that they've had good games all year either, though. I still remember the Idaho game. Like, that was not a good game for Oregon. So
yeah,
everybody's had bad games. And I think that even Indiana now, this was their first quote-unquote bad game because, you know, just because of what Michigan has been this year, we were kind of all expecting them to just kind of walk through this game. But even Indiana, I don't think, played bad. And also, they don't have a loss either. So not everybody has a loss or a bad game, I don't think.
Yeah. No, I agree. Darth Ducky says, Oregon started slow. It's a fair criticism. And then he adds, we had offensive line issues again tonight with two new guys. Yeah, that seems to be kind of the thing that sparks the issues for Oregon every single time. It was part of the issue against Boise State and Idaho, and now it seems to be creeping back in a little bit. Thankfully for Oregon, they really don't have too much of a challenge the rest of the season until the Big Ten Championship game, so they should be able to just win and get to the end. I think that Washington game, that's a rivalry game. You know, we'll see how that goes, but just win. I shouldn't say we'll see how that goes. I think Oregon will win that one, but it might be closer than some people would normally predict. All right, Kent, let's talk about our rankings. Sure. You go first, talk about, you know, who kind of moved, what your thoughts are. Actually, a lot more different in this one. You have UCLA three spots higher than me. Washington, we have about one spot the same. You didn't move Iowa at all. I moved Iowa down a spot. You still have Illinois at 7. I have Illinois at 5. We got a lot of different stuff going on here. So kind of walk us through your rankings and how you have them set.
Yeah, I'll be quick this week because, like I said, it's such a mess with some of these teams that it's really difficult to rank them. But 1 through 4, obviously we have the top two different, but like I go Indiana, Oregon, Ohio State, Penn State. I think just Indiana is what people would give me pushback on because I know a lot of people still think Oregon and Ohio State are better than Indiana, but I'm going to keep Indiana there. Like I said, as far as the next three though, that was the really toughest part for me because I'm looking at Iowa. They lost. I'm like, how do I bump them down? Who do I put in front of them? I can't find anybody to put in front of them. I thought about Illinois. I couldn't put Minnesota in front of them, obviously, because they lost to Minnesota, or they beat Minnesota. So I just left it as it was and basically took the rest of the rankings from 5 on down. And I only moved people up if they won basically this week. So that means that I moved Rutgers up. I can't remember where I had them last week. I think it was 15 or 16. I could pull it up if you give me a minute, but I put Rutgers up to 13. And then UCLA, like, I moved them. They've made the biggest jump because they were at the bottom of my rankings for most of the first half of the season. And rightfully so. They were playing really bad. So they've made some jumps, like, slowly. And then this week I just said, you know what, man? They're hot right now. This is supposed to be a power ranking. So, like, what's going on right now? I pushed them all the way up to number 8. I felt like they should deserve some respect for what they've done. But going through the rest of it really quickly, it went Iowa, Minnesota, Illinois, UCLA. That was 5 through 8. I have Washington at 9, Wisconsin at 10. I did push Michigan down, and I thought about what you said, like kind of leaving them where they were because they played good today or they were in a close game with an undefeated team. But they've just lost too many games at this point. Like, yeah, they keep playing okay. They keep playing good, but they're not winning the big games. So it's like, you got to get bumped down. Nebraska at 12, like I just talked about, Rutgers at 13, Michigan State right behind them at 14. And then it finishes up with 15 through 18, Northwestern, USC, Maryland, and Purdue.
Yeah, I think you got some good explanation there. I don't really have a whole lot to argue with you on. I guess, like, for me, I moved Iowa down from Illinois just because, like, I thought Brendan Sullivan would be a playmaker who could have good decision-making, you know, kind of like Cade McNamara, but with a playmaking aspect to him. That wasn't the case against UCLA. UCLA is an awful pass defense. As much as their offense has improved, their pass defense is terrible. Brendan Sullivan could not pass the ball very well, but it wasn't all on Brendan Sullivan. There was also the deep ball to Gill, where he hits Gill in stride, and then Gill like trips over himself, and the DB catches up to him and gets him. Like, that should have been a touchdown. He hit him in stride. Brendan Sullivan threw him a great ball, hits him in stride, and he trips over himself, and the DB catches up to him. And I'm just like, what in the world? Like, this is one of the worst pass defenses in all of college football. But because Iowa doesn't have wide receivers, they have a freshman who was a quarterback just a year ago playing wide receiver, and then they have no wide receiver development within their program. They're having guys trip as they're falling, as they're catching balls, and, you know, getting the next guy to come up to them. So for me, it's really annoying. I had to move him down at least a spot. That was a loss to UCLA, a team they should have beaten, and now they have a loss to two of the bottom, you know, record-wise, I think bottom six, bottom five teams in the Big Ten. I'd check that for sure. But Michigan State and UCLA, those are two teams that do not have good records. And then Minnesota, for me, I dropped
four
them.
And five right now, or UCLA might be.
UCLA is both 3-5, aren't they? Or are they 4-5?
I'm not sure.
I'll have to go back and check. But
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. I'll check the standings here in just a second. But as far as I'm concerned, like, Wisconsin, they lost to Penn State just last week. I'm not going to drop them out of the top half just because they lost to Penn State and, you know, actually had a pretty good game there for a while if it wasn't for the pick that Braden Locke threw, which, you know, you can't have that back. It is what it is. I moved Michigan up because I felt like Michigan has found themselves with Davis Warren. Like, I feel like this is the best version of Michigan, and I feel like they would probably have another win or two, possibly, if they would have been starting Davis Warren all season. Like, I think if Davis Warren is playing that game against Washington, I think they win that game. Like, the way they're operating it now. I still have massive questions about the coaching staff. I still don't think anybody on the coaching staff should be back next year. I hear people saying, like, oh, we should bring Sherrod Moore back because we might get Bryce Underwood. You're paying the dude $10 million. Bryce Underwood would come if your mouse was your coach. Like, don't tell me, like, oh, we got to have Sherrod Moore here because he's recruiting Bryce Underwood. It's like, no, the $10 million is recruiting Bryce Underwood, okay? Like, he is not watching Sherrod Moore's offense right now and be like, oh, I got to play in that. Like, that's not what he's doing. So I did move them up a couple spots there, and like I said, Minnesota down a little bit. I did move up UCLA substantially because of what they're doing on offense and Ethan Garber's and how he has looked and everything there, and then kind of the bottom of it, there wasn't much else. I moved Maryland down, Rutgers up a spot, but I kept them behind UCLA just because I haven't seen much different than that. They did beat Minnesota, but yeah. Without Kyle Manungai, that is huge.
I couldn't believe that. That was the, like, there was a lot of interesting things this weekend. Like, Iowa obviously, like, surprised me by not winning. I thought that was, like, a foregone conclusion on Friday night, and it wasn't. And then that was, like, the second biggest shock to me is that Rutgers actually won that game because Minnesota was, like, you know, they just won four in a row, and Rutgers just lost four in a row. And I tweeted about that, but, like, of course that's a Rutgers win. Like, one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten comes in, and one of the teams that's on the biggest downslide beats them. It's so confusing and impossible to predict, especially when their best player is not playing. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand. Sometimes that's why I just throw my hands up and say, I don't understand this conference sometimes.
Yeah, no, I agree. LFG says UCLA is 4-5 versus number one strength of schedule in the nation. I've not checked the strength of schedule rankings yet. Last time I checked, I think it was, I think that it was Georgia who was number one, and they just played Ole Miss. So
I really like LFG's picture, by the way.
Oh, yeah? You like that?
Yeah. Sweet, I don't remember what the guy's name is, but...
Yeah, I remember that, too. I don't remember what his name is, though. Let's see. In Minnesota, yeah, they are 4-5, so they are actually... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. They are top, bottom... So they are tied for third last in the conference in record. But if you go by conference record, they would be eighth last. So what's that make them overall? 10th?
Who are you talking about?
UCLA.
Well, there's a lot of teams at 4-5 right now, though. So
they're... Yeah, they're... There's USC, Michigan State, Northwestern, and UCLA. And then two more. So I guess it's bottom six. But they're 3-4 in the conference, while everybody else is
Two and
two and
four.
four and 2-5. So I guess they're sixth last, which is like 12th. So
So you're saying that
there.
they should be higher or lower than in one of our rankings? Or you're just pointing out that that's
I
who
was
you think?
I said that Iowa has losses to two of the
Oh, that's
top
right.
bottom five, bottom six teams in the conference, and so I was checking their record to see if that was
True, true,
accurate or
true.
not.
Yeah, you got it. You
It
nailed
was
it.
accurate off the top of my head, so props to me there, I guess.
Yeah.
Corey asks, where does IU land in the new rankings? I think number five is adequate. I've been saying they should be number five this entire time, but
I think they should be number one.
well,
Clearly, look at my
yeah,
power
you think
rankings.
that.
They're number one in the conference that has the best football in the country.
Yeah, I mean they'll probably go up to seventh. Miami lost. They'll probably go down under Miami, but Tennessee won? Question mark. Yeah, Tennessee beat Mississippi State, but they don't have Nico Aliamava. But I don't think they're gonna jump them. Texas won. Penn State won. Yeah. I don't think they're winning against Michigan, even though we know it's a big thing because it's like defending national champions. A lot was on the line. They're not gonna get credit for it nationally like that. They're not gonna get. That's the crazy thing about this. Like, Texas is going to get so much got so much credit for beating Michigan that they made it to the number one team in the nation.
Yeah.
Oh, Georgia lost too. So, but I don't know. Do they put Georgia under Indiana?
That's two
Thank you,
for them,
Matt.
isn't it? They have to.
Yeah. I mean, they have to, but the SEC bias is crazy, dude.
That would be insane if they're if Indiana's behind Georgia, that would be insane to me, I think.
But Georgia beat Texas, and Texas is fifth.
Don't care.
Yeah.
I like Indiana more though. So what about that?
Well, yeah, we all here like Indiana more than
All the
Georgia.
voters are watching right now, so they should be listening to what I say.
Well, that's true. Yeah.
All the AP voters are listening to this show. They should
Everybody
be
go to
listening to
Twitter and
it. You know
tag
what's
your
crazy
AP
is some
poll
of them
voter.
actually need to be listening to this show for real though. Like where they put some of these teams, like I don't know what they're doing. They need
Yeah.
their credentials polled.
They do. They do for sure.
I'm not
Chase
saying I
says,
deserve them or anything. I'm just saying they need theirs polled.
well, we definitely deserve them more. I don't know if we
Oh
deserve
yeah,
them,
for
but we
sure.
deserve them
For sure.
more. Corey says Indiana better than UT as well. I think they are. Just I'm not telling you what I think. I think they should be top five as well, but I think that the AP poll doesn't think that. They're gonna be like, oh yeah, Texas killed Michigan when Michigan was top 10, but now Michigan's not top 10, but they still live off that victory. Chase says thoughts on UCLA, Big Ten in Iowa. Jeffrey and I will talk about it more tomorrow night when we do the full recap and everything. But I mean, as far as I'm concerned, UCLA's pass defense was much better in this one. Brendan Sullivan was sacked multiple times, turned the ball over too much, and UCLA was opportunistic, and their offense is humming a whole lot more. So I think a lot of credit goes to them, and I think a lot of credit goes to Eric Bieniemy for putting together a much better offensive team throughout the year and improving throughout the year. I think that speaks a lot to Deshaun Foster and what he's been able to do. Any thoughts, Kent?
No, I think you covered it right there. Like we've talked about UCLA and Iowa, I think a lot today, so I think you got it covered right there. It was a good win for UCLA. That's why I pushed them. And again, we're here to kind of talk about the power ranking, so that's why I pushed them all the way up to number eight. I think that they deserve some respect, and I gave it to them.
Yeah, I think it's difficult, right? Because for me with Iowa, like I do want to give UCLA respect, but at the same time, Iowa was on their fifth string walk-on quarterback. Iowa, they had a short week. They were going out west, but at the same time, like if you're going to be the number five team in the Big Ten, the number six team in the Big Ten, you should win that game,
Right.
right? Like UCLA is improving, UCLA is getting better, but Iowa should still win that game. So, I think it's
And
just a lot of
I don't really
props go
remember
to
how, I don't
UCLA.
remember when he came out, but they were already losing when he came out, right?
Yeah, I think it was the third quarter
It's
because he
not
came
like
back
they
after
lost.
halftime.
It's not like they had a big lead, and it was later in the game, like you're saying. It's not like they had a huge lead and then they lost their like one guy that could get them the win. It was like they were already losing and And matter of fact, I think they scored. I think Iowa even went down and scored a touchdown after he went out, which, like, that doesn't sound like the craziest thing to do, but, like, for Iowa, sometimes it is, like, to go get a touchdown. So it, I know they did, actually, because I remember Caleb Johnson was, like, on the goal line, and then they brought him out and brought in, I think, the third string guy. It wasn't even Patterson. It was somebody that I didn't really recognize. So,
yeah, I was watching that game last night with the game muted, so I didn't always hear everything. But yeah, I didn't recognize who that guy was, but I noticed it wasn't Caleb Johnson.
Yeah.
Kevin Chandler, big Penn State fan, he says, my Nittany Lions are really good. Literally, they came out pissed off and dominated. We are. So, Kent, Penn State does win by a lot. A lot of credit to them. They come off the hard loss to Ohio State, but they come out in this one and just destroy Washington from the jump. Washington benches Will Rogers and puts in Desmond, however you pronounce his first name, Williams. And
he's
he comes
a freshman,
in.
Right? Or is he a transfer?
I think he's a freshman. And he runs like crazy and does really well. But at the same time, like, Washington just didn't have enough firepower in this game. It was interesting watching Jed Fish try to do anything with this team. But at the end of the day, Penn State came out and they just absolutely dominated Washington. I wish I could have moved Penn State up in this one, but I feel like Penn State's just in this weird nebulous right now where they can't do anything to move up. Something else has to happen to somebody else in order for them to move up to somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And, you know, to me, there's, I kind of already alluded to this, but there is a very hard drop off after number four. Like, there's a very clear top four teams in this conference, and Penn State's a part of that. And when I look at those four teams, it actually makes me kind of sad that two of those teams are not going to be in the Big Ten championship game, because I think that all of them are talented enough to do it. It's just going to be about who wins those matchups head to head. And obviously we've already had two of those matchups with Oregon playing Ohio State and then Ohio State beating Penn State. So yeah, it's really tough for me because I like Penn State a lot. I thought they have a chance to win the Big Ten this year. I thought they had a chance to make a run in the playoffs, and they still might if they can go ahead and win the rest of their game. So we'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I wanted to mention this too. Speaking of DeMond, I was watching Big Ten Network a few weeks back, and Jed Fish was being doing like his weekly press conference. He said he is the future of Washington football. So keep an eye on that kid, by the way. He's going to be good, according to Jed Fish. And I trust Jed Fish when it comes to the future, I think. So I got my eyes on that guy for sure.
I trust Jed Fish for now, but I do not trust him calling plays on the goal line to win the game in the final seconds of the game. Do not trust him there. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the IU and Ohio State game, because if IU does lose by a substantial amount, I think you have a good argument for putting Penn State over Indiana in that case. Obviously, Penn State will be over Indiana in the polls. For the college football rankings, they've shown that they're not going to change that, most likely, unless anything big happens. But like, I don't know. Like, if Indiana lost by, let's say, 20 to Ohio State, which I'm not predicting is going to happen, Indiana fans, it's just a hypothetical. If Indiana did lose by 20 to Ohio State, would you put Indiana below Penn State? It's a road game for Indiana. Ohio State beat Penn State on the road. Would you put Penn State above Indiana if Ohio State won by three scores?
No, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't,
and I won't if that happens in my power rankings.
Yeah.
Is that what you're asking about, my personal ones? Or are you thinking, are you asking like what I think other people would do? Because for me,
I'm asking about your power rankings.
Yeah. For me, like the road part of it is it's almost like a touchdown swing for me. Like, you know, so Ohio State going on they won that game at Penn State, right? I'm not going crazy this year, am I?
Who, Ohio State?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay. I thought I mixed it up for a second. Okay, so Ohio State going to Penn State and getting that win, and then comparing that to Indiana having to travel to Ohio State, yeah, it's like a 14-point difference right there is how I look at that. In your scenario that you're saying, you know, that Indiana loses by three scores. So I still think that Indiana would, in that scenario, still be better than Penn State. That was a long-winded way of saying, no, I wouldn't put them in front.
Well, you had to think it through as you were doing it. I kind of asked you on the spot there. So yeah. I get it. LFG is bringing up the Iowa injury comment. I wasn't trying to disparage UCLA. He says, I know UCLA is not a good team, but the Bruins entered Iowa game with many more key injuries than Iowa had. And earlier he's saying that he felt like I was making excuses for Iowa. I wasn't trying to make excuses for Iowa. I was just trying to add context to the entire thing and say that was one of the reasons why I didn't drop Iowa down more than one spot for me personally. So
no, we want you to bring UCLA up more. We don't care about where you have Iowa. We want you to put UCLA in the top half. That's what we're looking for right now, JR.
Well,
respect Coach Foster and the Bruins.
Well, I do respect Coach Foster and the Bruins. Like I said,
did you see the jacket he was wearing last night?
He does have a great jacket. He's worn that multiple times already.
Oh, has he? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
he's got the white undershirt with the black jacket and everything, and he's got the hat on. He's got a good look.
Yeah.
Best looking head coach in the Big Ten. We should do those power rankings.
I don't know. That seems a little weird.
Who would be last?
It like best dressed or something like that, or who has the most swag or something.
No, let's do best looking.
Okay. Because
best dress is a part of it, right? Like you have to be dressed well to look good. So like
sure. Yeah. I'd have to go Brett Bielema, number one.
Oh, he's the best looking.
Oh yeah. That's a sexy man.
I need to make this a chat.
Wait, we're not really doing this, are we?
No. I just want us to figure out the four options so that way I can put this in the chat to have people vote on it. So hold on one second. Let me pull it up.
So Brett Bielema's got to be an option. Okay. Kurt Ferentz.
Okay. Are we doing best looking or worst looking? Who is the...
We're saying best looking, but we're picking the worst looking, I think, on purpose.
Okay. So let's say best. Best looking head coach in...
I think if you put Brett Bielema in there with like three like actual good looking guys, like if you threw him up there like with this sounds so weird to be talking. Why are we talking about this? But like Dan Lanning, Coach Foster.
I mean, Dan Lanning beats Brett Bielema. I'm sorry.
No, but I'm saying if you put him in there with that conversation, people are going to vote for Bielema though, like intentionally just to be funny.
Okay, so who should we put with Bielema? PJ Fleck? He's bald.
Is that a good thing?
For some, maybe. I don't know. I'm not telling people who they think should be good looking and not. PJ Fleck, who's another coach that we should have?
I think you're officially doing too much podcasting, JR.
I'm doing a lot of podcasts.
We've reached a point where we are doing this. He said, someone in the chat just said, I beg of you, as dudes, don't do this best looking Big Ten coach poll.
We're not actually going to do it. I just want to make the poll question.
Okay. So do PJ, Lanning, Foster, and...
Well, the four I wrote down, tell me if I should replace anybody. Who is the best looking head coach in the Big Ten? Brett Bielema, PJ Fleck, Kirk Cignetti, or Mike Loxley?
I mean, you got to take Loxley out.
No? Okay. So Dan Lanning instead?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, people. Vote on the poll. Let us know what you
think. Is that on you? Okay, there it is. It's on YouTube. I didn't know you could do polls on YouTube.
I just found out the other day. My co-host on the Voice of College Football was like, you need to... Oh, they're the voting. Cignetti. Bielema, Cignetti. We'll come back to that in a second. I just found out I could do polls the other day, so now that's all I want to do is like interact with the chat and do polls.
we got to find a better.
I can't put that on the screen, Grant. I'm sorry.
We got to find a better usage for the poll.
Yeah, yeah. We'll find something. This was just a test. Okay. All right, back to power rankings. What else? Purdue, can Purdue do anything to get out of 18th place? I mean,
unless they win their last three games, I guess, or two, get whatever they have left. Yeah. But no.
There's nothing he can do. Are we being too hard on Maryland, putting them 16th and 17th? I mean, they did beat USC.
No.
Sorry, Matt. You don't have to vote, Matt, but just... you know, or maybe do vote, but don't actually vote. Just like indulge us for a second.
Just don't tell people you voted.
There you go.
Let me look at Maryland's schedule again. Why did I put them so low? It's the Michigan State loss. To start the season, basically.
Oh, PJ.
I don't know, man. They got blown out by a couple teams back to back. Like, they lost to Michigan State. They lost to Northwestern by 27. Like, you can't lose to Northwestern by 27 and advocate for being higher than, like, in the top 15, even, I guess. Like, Northwestern took you behind the woodshed. You cannot say anything the rest of the year.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I don't know. Are we being too tough on USC, 14th and 16th? Or actually, I'm probably not being tough enough on them.
They're just an interesting team because, like, they're a team that, like, I want to put higher, but the results aren't there, right?
Yeah.
Like, I still think that they have a very talented roster, and, like, they have, I thought, good coaches. And I think that they're going to be a good team, like, once they figure out this, like, whole Big Ten schedule and, like, as the years wane on. But, like, right now, there's no results for them to argue that they should be any higher. Maybe I should put them up one more because, like I say every week, I always put Northwestern, like, one spot ahead of, like, where they probably should be. But or in your case, two spots ahead of where they should be. But they're definitely the last – I think they have to be one of the last four or five teams in the Big Ten in anybody's rankings.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really see – an option. Like, I'm trying to, in my mind, think of a way, like, how can I put them above Michigan State? How can I put them above Nebraska? Like, I think they have the talent to be over Michigan State, but they've not played like it. We'll see what the new quarterback looks like for them, but, I mean, I don't know. Lincoln Riley's just not doing a good job this season. I think USC fans would agree with me on that. Any other teams, Kent, you want to bring up? We hit 40 minutes. It's kind of what we normally go for on these. Anything else you want to bring up? Any teams before we get out of here? If there's anybody in the chat that has another team you want us to talk about, we can for maybe a minute or two. But what do you think, Kent?
No. There were so many teams that had buys this week that, like, it made the rankings really hard to begin with, but it also makes it so there's a lot of teams that we don't have to talk about. So, like, we just skip over all that. Shout out to my boy Bryce, though. He just texted me and said he's watching right now. I sent him the link earlier. He's up late a lot. So what up, Bryce?
There we go. Thanks, Bryce. Appreciate you being here. All right, since there's no comments in the chat, let's do one more thing really quick, Kent, and then we'll get out of here. What game next week do you think has the most opportunity to shake up the Big Ten power rankings? Obviously, like, Ohio State, Northwestern, Penn State, Purdue, but I don't think anybody's picking those games to be wins.
Yeah, like a game that, like, realistically could happen.
Like, yeah, could actually happen that could shake up the Big Ten power rankings the most.
I mean, man, that's a great question.
Like, I think Wisconsin has an actual shot at beating Oregon. I'm not saying it's a good shot. I'm not picking that to happen. But with it being at Wisconsin, I mean, you never know.
So I'll just go through all the games real quick and tell you why I don't think that they're factors, and you almost have to pick that game, because Washington and UCLA, no matter who wins that, it doesn't really shake things up for me, especially because I have them at 8 and 9. I don't think Ohio State's going to lose to Northwestern. Michigan State and Illinois, like, yeah, I guess if Michigan State pulled the, like, small upset, then Illinois is going to kind of fall off a little bit, but doesn't really shake things up. Penn State and Purdue, not going to happen for Purdue. Nebraska and USC, like, irrelevant in the power rankings for me, especially. And so is Rutgers and Maryland. So, yeah, it's got to be that Wisconsin game. You have to, if you want to see the power rankings get flipped upside down, then you have to have Wisconsin win that home game against Oregon, a team that, like, could lose that game, like you said. They'd have to play like they did basically at the beginning of this game. They're just so potent on offense. It's, like, almost impossible to beat them. But going on the road, you got a better chance right off the rip. It's got to be Wisconsin's, like, best game. We've seen them play really good. We've seen them play bad this year. It's got to be their best four quarters of the year for that to happen.
Yeah, and they have to win with the running game, and they have to win with their defense. Their quarterback has proven that he's not going to win them the games. He can manage the game, and he can, be a part of helping them win, but he's not going to win the game for them. So you have to rely on the run game, and you have to rely on, which is really unfortunate because the pass blocking for Wisconsin is just fantastic, but the quarterback is just not fantastic enough. So
You need
you got to
Balake
really
to
have some
play
good run
good.
blocking. Balake, yeah, exactly. Owen with some very astute observation here. He says Indiana versus bye week will be critical for the power rankings. That's true because if Oregon does win or does lose, then you have Indiana at number one. Everybody has Indiana at number one after that.
Yeah, they'll finally be caught up with a ball knower like me who's had it there for the last 4 weeks.
But are power rankings predictions or just current rankings?
No. I just know who's the best team. That's why I put them there. And like, it just takes a while for everybody else to figure it out. That's all.
Yeah,
You'll
that's
get there,
true.
JR.
I'll get
Now I
there.
kind of
I'll
want
get there.
Wisconsin to win that game. Just so I have to see you put Indiana number one and
I mean,
finally
I
say
want to
that I
put
was
Indiana
right.
number one. I
Yeah.
sound
No,
like
but
I
you'll have to
don't
say
want
that
to
I
put
was
him.
right though this whole time.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You do love when I tell you you're right. So,
Yeah, which is rare. I'm hardly ever right. I went, dude. The picks this week, like on our Bet Big show that we did, we all three started out like 1-9. Like it was horrible week for gambling. Horrible week.
I did not gamble at all this week, but I was talking to you and Sonny with the over for Iowa that did not hit. What'd you say? It hit 4 weeks in a row for them?
I was just kind of throwing that out there, but it seems like their last four games, I mean, they've been scoring a lot, like
Yeah.
every game. They basically hit it by themselves every single
Yeah.
week, it seems like.
That's true. That's
Like
true.
they scored 52 the 1 week. Let's see what they just did. 52, 54, 52, 56, 42. Like that's their last five games. I have to, even the one before that, I think hit. So probably the last six games, their
Yeah.
overs have hit. I'm guessing because Vegas is still putting their like totals really low. I think it's based on last year, so I don't understand it, but it worked this week because I bet a lot of people bet on the over and it didn't hit.
Yeah, this was their first time scoring less than 20 since Ohio State, and that was the first week of October. So you've made it to the first week of November, second week of November. No, first week of November. No, second, because it's the 8th of November, and
Third week, why did not third week of November? Let's just call it week three now.
well,
Week
because they
one,
scored 17.
week two.
Okay, sure. All right, everybody. We really
Wait, who won
appreciate.
the poll? Who won the poll?
I forgot to check that. Signetti, 43%. He got 43% of the 14 votes. So I got to end the poll. That way nobody else can vote. It's
That's
official.
disappointing. I didn't vote. Wait, do I got to vote to see who won?
No.
Hey, where'd the
How
poll
did you.
go? You guys left a lot of comments in here. Oh, wait, I'm on the wrong thing. That's why. Here it is.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I got it now.
It's there at the bottom. Yep, Signetti 42, Brett Bielema 28, Dan Lanning 21, and PJ Fleck, he got one vote, 7%. Good job, PJ. Proud of you.
Only 14 votes. I'm disappointed in the watchers right now. Come on, guys.
Well, we
Get the
got more
voting.
votes than we had likes, so
Get out and
like the
vote.
video.
Maybe people are tired of voting this week. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, it was a bit of a taboo vote. We'll bring you a better poll next time, everybody. We'll think of
We got
something
to
better.
start with a poll next week.
That's true. We do.
All right.
Maybe like the most controversial rating we have. We have people pick who's right.
Now we're talking.
There we go. Okay.
All right.
All right. We're getting better at this. So,
Yeah.
Kent, anything going on at Casual Big Ten you want to talk about before we get out of here?
Nope, not much. I have an announcement on Monday, something like I said when I did the basketball show a couple of days ago, but exciting for me. I don't know if everybody else will be excited about it, but please tune in to my Twitter slash X, whatever you call it. And that'll be coming out on Monday morning, something to hopefully bring some fans together and get people even more connected than we already are. So check that out on Monday. And then that's pretty much it, man. Honestly, doing the Bet Big shows on Friday now, like pretty much lock that in. And then this on Saturday. And then I'll be back for some basketball episodes whenever I can, for sure.
Yeah, that would be great. Tomorrow night, if you want to check me and Jeffrey the Greek out. Zach's on vacation right now, so me and Jeffrey the Greek will be recapping everything, and he is one of the best Iowa experts out there. So if you want to know what went wrong for Iowa and get an Iowa's, fan, I guess, take or whatever you want to call it, on everything that went on there in that game, come check us out 9 o'clock tomorrow night. So Matt is asking for a power ranking poll in the chat. Unfortunately, I don't think I can have you do like the entire power rankings, but I can definitely do like segments of it. Like I can ask you a question and then I can give you four different options. So I can't like have you do the entire power rankings, but we'll figure it out. We will no longer ask dudes who is the best looking dude. We will do better.
I'm not, no, we're not promising that. We might do that again.
Wow, that's
We might
true.
bring that back. Also, hey, tell Jeffrey I said hi, but you actually don't have to because I'm gonna get in the chat tomorrow and this just spam it with Fire Ference. Have you been following him on Twitter about how he's been like
Yes.
different? I'm just gonna spam it the whole time. Just keep saying Fire Ference until he responds.
Well, it's hard for Jeffrey, right? Like he knows Kirk Ferentz, like he
No,
was
I
his
know. Yeah,
coach, but
obviously. I would do that. I would hope that he would know. I would do that as a joke, but I'm not
yeah, he
really
would
gonna do
know.
that.
He would know. So, all right, everybody, we appreciate you being here. We appreciate you watching and going through our shenanigans and everything. And we will be back, like I said, tomorrow night talking about the recap and everything. So, have a good one. We'll see you next time.